Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Beauty Talk with Illusions Cosmetics for Thursday, January 8th. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, co-owner of Illusions Cosmetics, and I'm joined tonight by my sister and business partner, Denise.
Hello.
We have a wonderful show for you this evening where we will be the best, worst foundation experiences. This is in addition to the discussion we had a few weeks ago about finding the right shade of foundation. Joining us tonight will be actress Jasmine Lewis, who is known for her roles on Barbershop 1 and 2 and 3 Playback Game, as well as a host of television shows. Jasmine will be sharing her on tonight's session, as well as taking your calls. So please be sure to call in and join the discussion at 913-803-4399 or email us your questions and comments at info@illusionsbeauty.com. Welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you so much. You guys are great, and I love those.
Can you briefly tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Let's see. I'm in the entertainment industry, obviously. I'm an actor, but I'm a kind of a particular actor. So, I've had my situations. That's why when Denise called me about this, I thought this is so perfect for me because I have had more trauma and drama with my face and makeup. And I just need to tell somebody about it. I happily told her as well. As far as the rest of me, I've been in a whole lot of movies, so it taught me how to, what I want to look like, you know what I mean, as opposed to what I actually do look like. So, yeah, a little bit about me is I'm sort of all over the place, but I'm pretty particular about my skin and my look.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about those traumas and dramas and why you're
Denise knows all these stories. Okay, my first one, I can't name the television show because I can't, but it was one of the first, couple of jobs that I had in the industry, and I showed up to work, went to hair and makeup, as we all do, and, usually you have a consultation with the hair and makeup people before you go to work, but this was a TV show, and I was just a guest star. So it really, basically, I was just, they were flying by the seat of their pants. So I came in, I sat down in the chair, and I laid my head back and trusted that everyone just knew what I wanted, but I never conveyed what I wanted, which is a problem. So I put my head up after about 45 minutes or so, looked in the mirror, and I was at least 6 different shades of color on my face.
Oh,
and
wow.
None of them were my actual color. Right.
Wow.
So I'm not sure what foundation they were using. Not that it mattered because it was all wrong. Like, I was like, wow. I believe I had blue eyeshadow on. My face was one color. My neck was another color. I mean, it was the biggest nightmare ever, and we were running late. So they came to the hair and makeup trailer and said, I need you now. And after looking, I looked like a clown. So I went, I'm not going out there. So I pretended to fall and said, I have to go to my trailer. And
are
just, I'm serious. It was that bad. I was not going on the soundstage like that. So I pretended to fall in the cement and said, I need to run to my trailer and get a bandage for my knee. So the second said, okay, no problem. Go to your trailer, but come right to the stage when you're done. I washed my entire face in my trailer, applied my own makeup really quickly, which thank God I learned how to do, went out there. The sad thing about it is when they came out to do touch-ups, the makeup artist never knew it wasn't her work. Which is really crazy. So that means she never really looked at me. But what it taught me is that you need to talk to the people that are working on your face. And more than that, you need to know what you want. You need to know what color you are. You need to know how those things change with the seasons. All kinds of things. You know what I mean? Like, you need to know all that information to convey that to somebody else.
But
so that was
also,
just one.
You also need to know if the person that's working on you is qualified.
Exactly.
Because, most people call themselves makeup artists, and they're not used to doing all different skin tones.
Sure. But you would think that in television, because there's a union with hair and makeup, that they would be qualified. You would think. That's not necessarily true.
Right.
Necessarily true. Yeah.
Wow.
And as makeup artists for film and television, my sister and I both are in the habit of doing something that you mentioned, is that we are in the habit of talking with the actors before they even come to the production. You know, find out if there's any concerns that they may have with their skin, if there are any particular products that they prefer to use. And we kind of do research on the actor to get a general idea of what their skin tone is, you know. And like you said, you would think that if you were a unioned makeup artist that you would be skilled.
Right.
But my question to you is, now, you're an actress, so you are prepared for situations like that for the most part. You know, you had your own foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you have your own makeup there? Had you experienced another makeup artist that didn't know how to match your skin before, or why were you in the habit, I guess, of having your own foundation?
Because at the time, I after that job, I became much more prepared. And as Denise will tell you, I will come to the entire set with my whole makeup case. I just happened to have makeup in my purse. Yes. I really didn't have everything that I needed, but I had enough, you know.
Right.
But after that experience, I started to come with my entire kit.
Gotcha.
It really did. So I wasn't as prepared as I wanted to be, because I didn't think I needed to be prepared, you know what I mean? But
right.
Obviously.
Right. Let me just add, I remember before Three Can Play That Game, I remember calling Jasmine and speaking mm-hmm. to her about her skin, and I remembered her telling me that she had her own foundation that
mm-hmm.
she was going to bring. And so when she showed up the first day, she had her foundation, and we decided
mm-hmm.
to airbrush her. So the great
yeah.
thing about that was, I mean, although I think I'm pretty good at matching, skin tones with different foundations, but it just made the job so much easier that
mm-hmm.
she did have her own foundation, because, you know, there was no question, no doubt about it. It was your match, and if you look crazy, you know, going to set, it was your fault. Cause it was
right,
your
exactly.
You know what I mean?
But I think the most important thing is that you had such a long conversation with me long before I ever got to Atlanta about my fears, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like when you're in front of the camera, our fear is that we're going to go out there looking ridiculous and
right.
that there's nothing anybody can do about it. So, you know, putting a person at ease really, really helps.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew that once I got there, even if it wasn't perfect, we could communicate.
Exactly, exactly.
So,
think that's the important part of that whole, you know, foundation thing and trying to figure that out is just mm-hmm. being able to communicate with whoever
mm-hmm.
you're working on. And just being a good artist, let's just tell the truth. You know,
right.
You have to know what you're doing, period.
You have to have a good eye, too, and understand
yes.
that what's on your hand is not the same color as on your
absolutely.
Face.
Absolutely.
People try foundations all out on their hands in the department
just
store.
Like
I'm like, well, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You're going to get home and be mad.
Right.
Well,
I remember very early in my career, I started freelancing with Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, and that's one of the first things they teach you is how to match foundation, you know, for each client. But you're testing, you're swiping like three different shades on the jawline, and that's so that you can match that foundation to the neck. So regardless
right.
if your face is a different color, you still want to match your neck, because once you get the foundation on the face, if it doesn't match your neck, then you're still walking around looking crazy.
Right.
So if you match it to the neck, then everything is one color. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's just important that makeup artists, you know, if they don't have that eye, that they develop that eye or try to come close to developing an eye for, you know, matching foundation and just understanding what you're matching to.
Right. And I think it's understanding undertones, too, because you can
exactly.
look at, like, one color on the surface. And,
yeah.
like, some people are very red. I happen to be very yellow undertone.
Uh-huh.
And that changes the whole color scheme. It's like, I think that's the key with makeup artists. Like, they have to keep practicing and practicing and practicing until their eye gets sharp.
Exactly.
And I just think that comes with time and experience.
Exactly.
I don't think, you know what I mean? I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, you're born with it and you know everything. That's not
right.
necessarily true.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. But you're right. If you understand undertones, then
yeah.
let's just say you have a palette of 12 foundations. If you understand undertones and someone can see clearly that you're a yellow undertone, then
mm-hmm.
they can clearly go to those yellow-based foundations
right.
without even trying, you know, anything that's in the red tone.
Which
but.
Is a problem. That's what I had on my face, by the way, so I looked crazy.
So you look orange.
Oh, my gosh. It was ridiculous. Yes.
Let me ask you, Jasmine, the foundation that you brought with you,
mm-hmm.
how did you come to choose that particular color? What was the process like for you? Did you have help in choosing that foundation, or were you the one who selected the color, or how did that all work?
That color was mixed for me. We have you guys, I think you have it out there too. I guess it's called Cinema Secrets. It's basically it's a place that it's kind of like prescriptive. You can go to the
right.
department store and you can stand there and you can mix your own colors, and that's kind of how Cinema Secrets is, except it's designed for film and television, so like it doesn't go green and you know it doesn't
right.
you know you can sweat a little and it won't end up on your shirt, you
right.
know things like that. So I literally sat there for about 2 hours and mixed and I also have you know I'm allergic to some makeup, so. My esthetician was there, and she added some stuff to it. So, mm-hmm. But the color basically came from sitting in a chair with the proper light and just mixing,
mm-hmm.
mixing and matching. And I think that's best. I don't think anybody's going to necessarily find the perfect foundation, you know, straight out of the bottle. Or I mean, you can get very, very close, but it'll
again.
Change.
Say that
I don't
again.
Think. I don't think anyone, especially women of color, are
yes.
going to find the perfect foundation straight out of the bottle. I just don't think that's necessarily possible. I think you can get very close, but I don't think you will find it. I think you have to mix and match.
Amen.
That's my personal opinion.
I agree.
You just have to wear two colors.
Absolutely.
Or three.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes. Yep.
And for those who are not makeup artists and that are doing their own makeup, please remind women to extend to the neck so you don't wear a mask.
Right.
How many women have you walked around, you know you have, wearing a mask? You like, if you just brought that down your jawline to your neck a little bit, you'd match. You know that's true.
Very true.
I'm just trying to help.
You're an actress, Jasmine. What was like your foundation experience before then, or were you wearing makeup then?
I you know what? Before I became an actor, I never wore foundation. I didn't wear makeup. Period. But when I don't work, I don't wear makeup now. I'm very lazy about that. It's terrible to say, isn't that bad? That's bad. No, I'm very, very lazy. When you see me and I'm not on camera getting a check for it, I have a clean face. But I think that's part of my skincare process as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
most actresses that I've worked with are the same way, though.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
they're not
when your job is makeup,
anything.
You don't want to put it on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-mm. I can agree to that.
Exactly. If I didn't sell makeup, I wouldn't wear it half the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what about, you know, the makeup, the studio fix that goes under the makeup, the foundation? How great is that?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
You mean the...
There you go again. She means I used a... I think it was an anti-shine from Illusions Cosmetics that I would use on Jasmine, along with a foundation primer from Illusions. Before,
yeah, because you can tell my secret, my problem. You can tell. Go ahead.
And then she would always call it Studio Fix. So
yeah. It fixed everything.
I
don't know what it is. It just fixed it.
When she called it Studio Fix, I was thinking of a MAC product. So, but now when she just mentioned it again, I automatically got it. So
because it made the foundation on go so much smoother, and because I sweat a lot,
yes,
and it just
it does.
Kept the makeup in place, and it actually slowed some of it down. That's what I said. You can tell my secret. It's okay.
Yeah.
Throw it out to the world. It's fine.
Yeah, for a woman, she does.
I think I sweat a lot for a man, but it's okay. Yeah, but it just kind of, that Illusions, whatever you did, you need to send me some more of that too, by the way. I'm running out. It was really great. I love it. Yeah, I'm on my own agenda on this one.
Yeah, we'll take care of you, Jasmine. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you.
Now we're going to go to the phone lines and take a call from one of our listeners. Hello, caller. Would you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Arlise.
Hi, Arlise.
Hi, Arlise.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question or a comment? We're talking about our best and worst foundation experiences.
I'll probably have a comment about the worst or best, I guess I could say both, foundation experiences. I am a makeup artist, and I was doing a wedding, and a young lady, I thought I was matching her up correctly, and I put the foundation, what matched her up, and it seemed like it was going on fine. And as I was blending it in, I noticed that it started to look chalky. So it was her complexion, but for some reason she has this really, I'm going to call it a funky undertone, where it was, she needed to be warmed up some. So it was like if I went too warm, then she looked like I was giving her an instant tan. But if I put it on as far as I guess as her her skin tone, like not the warmer tone, but her actual first layer of skin, then it would be too chalky. So I found that that was kind of hard for me to do, I guess, once getting into it. But noticing that I had to first put on the lighter tone and then lightly come back up and warm her up underneath to kind of bring that warmer tone out without making it look too chalky one way and too tan the other.
Mm. That's difficult.
Yeah,
that was like one of my most worst foundation moments. And I find it more with Hispanics. It's like they have a really nice tone, but then it's you get into it, and it's like, okay, yeah, you're probably this color, and you can kind of match them up from eye to eye, but the minute you put it on them, it's like it looks a totally different color. But going one way or the other, it's like you're going to either mess up, and I have to wind up or end up using, with Hispanics mostly, I have to use two types of foundation just because of that warm undertone, that olive tone that they normally have underneath of the yellow tone skin.
Right. So how do you handle situations like that? Like if you're working with a client and you're putting on that foundation and you see that the foundation that you put on is not working, and that client can clearly see that, like if they're looking in a mirror, like what's your reaction? Like what's your first reaction? Like how do you handle that so that, you know, they're not getting upset, if they're the type of people who would get upset and just say, oh, this is the wrong color, and then they, you know how some people are just like, well, this is the wrong color, and automatically they think you don't know what you're doing.
Well, they lose confidence in you.
Yeah, but first I don't panic. You know, clearly in my mind I'm like, oh great, this is not working out. But I just kind of talk them through it. A lot of times I don't allow them to look at themselves while they're doing it, but if they insist, they can. But if that was to actually happen, I would just kind of talk them through it and just say, hey, your skin is like two tones. You're lighter on your upper tone, but your undertone is definitely warmer. So my trick of the trade is that I come in and I put your actual tone down first, kind of to mute the skin out, and then I warm you up to the tone that you are actually. And they see that. And even I've had actually that one client, when that happened, I said, wow, your skin was really kind of hard to match up. And she says, yes, I have that problem all the time. I was like, well, why you didn't tell me? But, you know, I figured it out, you know, as I was going along. But she was like, she has that problem all the time. But she really liked the effect that I gave her, was actually having to use two foundations, and not a whole lot of it, but it's kind of like you have to erase and then come back and recreate the warmth in the skin. And so that's probably pretty much what I would do. I would just, you know, walk them through it and just say, hey, you know, your skin is two tones. I'm getting warmer and cooler at the same time. But this is what I'm going to do first. I said, you're going to love it. When I finish it, this is going to be a really nice effect for you.
I think that's the key, is talking someone through it, you know what I mean, so they don't get scared and think you and lose confidence in the person that's working on them. I think that's really the key. And let them know what you're going to do and what you're trying to do and what effect you're trying to create. Like, that helps me as an actor. You know, it helps me go, oh, okay, you're trying to, for the same effect as me, to make me look pretty. That's the point.
Exactly.
The point.
And I think basically, Arlise, your whole technique is basically just creating that blank canvas, and then just bringing that work of art to life by adding, you know, adding that warmth back to the skin a little bit. And you can also, I mean, you can also achieve that with powder. If you can just, you know, just cover the face so that it's all one tone, whether it's the right tone or not, and then just, you know, take a powder and set it and warm it up with the powder. You can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, Arlise, I know you said you're a makeup artist, but do you wear makeup or foundation yourself?
Yes, I do.
Did you have any experiences that would be considered bad when you were trying to find a foundation color to match your skin before you became a makeup artist?
Before I became a makeup artist, I really did not wear makeup. My idea of makeup was eyeliner and lip gloss, and that was it. But after getting into it, I was like, oh, it's much more to this than just, you know, eyeliner and lip gloss. But I guess I wouldn't say I had a bad experience, but it's just always finding that perfect shade where it just gives you that luminous glow. I think that's what every person strives for, where, you know, they want to wear makeup, but they want to say that I look natural in a sense, you know.
Right.
It's just finding that perfect coverage where it gives your skin that luminous glow. And that was what I was in search for. And some foundations were either too heavy, and I didn't like the feel of something on my face, especially because I was new to the makeup thing. You know, I wanted something that had me looking like I was wearing makeup, but I didn't want to feel like I was wearing makeup. And I think finding that light coverage, not coverage in the sense of covering my face, but the coverage of actually putting it on where it didn't feel like I have a mask and I'm going to peel it off, was
right.
one of my main concerns when it came to makeup.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that that's application or brand? You know, some things can feel like you have literally put
yeah.
a mask on your face, and some can feel like I'm wearing nothing.
Sometimes both.
I definitely
think it's application, because even if you've experienced the product enough to know that it's heavy,
mm-hmm.
then there are ways of shearing that product out, especially if it's like a cream foundation. If you know it's very heavy from the beginning, there's ways where you can, like, you know, wet your sponge or wet your
mm-hmm.
foundation brush and shear it out a little bit, but you can also use less product.
Right.
If it's a powder type foundation, instead of using like a sponge or like a puff to apply it, use a brush, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just apply less. So I think definitely application, but also, you know, product plays a factor in there too.
Mm-hmm.
As we're winding down, I wanted to ask both of you the same question. If you could briefly tell us, Arlise and Jazzy,
mm-hmm.
what beauty means to you. Whoever wants to go first.
Arlise, you just knock it out, girl. Go ahead.
I knew she was going to say that. As I'm sitting here going, what is beauty? What is beauty to me?
I have my own opinions. I could be completely wrong.
That's strictly what mine is going to be, my opinion.
Exactly.
If I guess answering that, what is beauty to me? I would just say beauty to me, in one word, is something that is captivating, that kind of holds you in awe. I mean, even if it's, and I know you're relating this to makeup. And
Not really.
Not really? Okay. Because I want to say you're relating it to makeup, because if you put something on and it just truly catches you. Like, I mean, sometimes when I put on makeup and I know that I have done a fabulous job of putting it on someone or myself, it's like it holds me. So it's captivating, and that's what I would have to say beauty is to me.
Very
nice. I love that. That was good. That was good, girl. That was real good.
Jasmine.
Well, you know, it's hard for me. I'm talking to my personal makeup artist, Denise, and one of my closest friends. But honestly, beauty to me is how you feel about yourself and how you project yourself. I think makeup can enhance how you feel about yourself at that moment, because as women especially, and women of color, we change that probably hour by hour in the day. But I think when you accentuate something that you feel good about yourself, like say you it's your eyes and you're putting on mascara, or if it's your lips and you're going out with just Illusions lip gloss, which is my favorite, and by the way, Denise, I need another one anyway. You know which one it is, Sue girl. I can't go out without it. It's like I want to feel good about myself completely naked, but if it's that one thing in your makeup kit that makes you feel just a little bit better, that's beauty. That's what's beautiful, because it's what you're projecting to everybody else. It's really how you feel about yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can be beat to death and not feel good about yourself, and no one will see it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And this is Denise, and my I'll always say, and I'll put it in my blogs, and you know, we're just kind of on this whole thing where this year we're just going around finding out what beauty is to, you know, a bunch of different women. And I always say that beauty to me is the beauty that God sees. It's the beauty that's on the inside of us. Because, you know, I think what's on the inside projects itself on the outside. So, I mean, basically piggybacking back on what you said, Jasmine, it's basically how we project ourselves, the image that we project, you know. And, and I think the makeup just does exactly what you said. It just enhances, you know, what's already there.
People will see what you want them to see, and they really see how you feel about you.
Right.
So if you walk out your door feeling confident, they see that, and then that's beautiful.
And right, and the thing is, beauty really isn't what everybody else sees. It's what you see about yourself.
Right.
And it's how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I agree with all of you. we're coming to the end of our show.
I hate that. We could keep talking.
I know, right? But, Arlise, you know, as our show grows, we will be extending the time. So, Jasmine, you will be brought back on, I'm sure.
Of course.
Just wait.
Can't wait.
Please, for calling us and giving us your thoughts. Thank you, Jasmine, for being our guest.
Thank you.
So thank you both. Next show, which is scheduled for January 22nd, is all about the world of beauty bloggers and how beauty bloggers have changed the landscape of beauty. We will be joined by a popular beauty blogger discussion on Thursday, the 22nd at 9 p.m. So both of you are invited to listen in, call in, whatever you like. Please join us for that discussion by calling in at 914-803-4399 or email us your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. Again, this is Janice Sinnell, and you've been listening to Beauty Talk with Illusions Cosmetics. Good night, ladies.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you. I like the big.